WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Rusty Cundiff, is a stand-up comic turned actor and filmmaker. He spoofed gangster rap in last year's film Fear of a Black Hat. Cundiff wrote himself the leading role as Ice Cold. He co-wrote, directed, and co-stars in the new film Tales from the Hood, starring Clarence Williams, David Alan Grier, and Corbin Burnson. Tales from the Hood is an urban horror film with a comic edge. All the supernatural stuff happens in the context of urban realities, like drug dealing, racism, police corruption, and child abuse. I asked Cundiff how he came up with the idea.
Well, I was a horror film fan of sorts, and I had written a play called The Black Horror Show, which was kind of a takeoff of the whole idea of the disease lycanthropy, which is the disease of being a werewolf. And I had a character who had the disease of blackanthropy. And during Black History Month, he turned into a Black Panther, kind of a Huey Newton, you know, leather jacket wearing, fist raised Black Panther. And I wanted to originally transfer that to film. And it was a short, so I figured that I'd have to put a couple of pieces with it. And as I started to work on that and got involved with Darren Scott, who was a producer and co-writer of the film, went more towards making the action a little bit more scary and less kind of farcical, which it was in the play. And as we worked on that, I really started to think, you know, what is it that really scares me? Because I go to horror films and ghost films, and they really don't ever scare me because, you know, I've never had the experience of a ghost trying to take my wallet on the street, or, you know, I've never been worried about a ghost passing me in a drive-by or denying me a job because I was black or female or, well, I haven't been female, but you get my point. So that's kind of where that idea came from. I said, you know, the things that scare me are the things that I really worry about, that people do to people and that, you know, affect me when I walk out of the house every day and I'm driving in my car and so on.
In Tales from the Hood, you cast Clarence Williams as an undertaker. What did you know him from? Did you know him from the Mod Squad years or from movies?
Yeah, I knew Clarence from the Mod Squad years and, you know, many other things after that. But I guess my first recollection of him was as Lincoln Hayes III on the Mod Squad. And, you know, as a young black kid in, I don't know, what was that, 1960-something, early 70s, I guess it was. But he was, you know, the first black role model that I could remember on TV that was serious and, you know, kind of manly in a just a very direct and honest way. And, you know, I spent a lot of afternoons after school riding around on my bicycle pretending to be Lincoln Hayes.
Your previous film, Fear of a Black Hat, was a parody of rap music. And were you or are you a big rap fan?
Actually, I like rap a good deal. I don't listen to it as much as I used to, but I don't do anything other than work as much as I used to. But yes, I am a rap fan.
Before we talk more about that film, which is on video, let me play one of the parodies that isn't actually in the film, but you made a video, I guess, shortly after the film was released.
Okay.
This is a parody of Snoop Doggy Dogg's most famous song. Do you want to say anything about it before we hear it?
It was just kind of a crazy whim. I knew that Fear of a Black Hat was coming out kind of late from the point where we had actually finished filming it, and I wanted to add something that would kind of pull it up, you know, to date a little bit. And so Snoop Doggy Dogg is, you know, was the hottest thing, and his song was the hottest thing, so we just went for that.
And the group is called?
Oh, it's Ice Froggy Frog with NWH.
And you are Ice?
I'm Ice.
Okay. Here's the parody.
Ribbit. Yeah, this is Ice Froggy Frog, and this is a little song for all the polywogs and the tadpoles from the Big Frog.
Ice Frog, Frog,
Frog. Ribbit, Ribbit.
Ice Frog, Frog.
From the depths of the pond, back to the top, Ice Froggy Frog jumping, and I got the drop. Get soloing that grass, tadpoles will sing. Long reach to the spot where my tongue will fling. Hippin' and hoppin', hoppin' and hippin', but don't lose your sleep. 9-4's is a easier for me to buck up the sheets. And I ain't hold nothing back, and I'm about to yank 9 from a gunny sack. It's like that, and as a matter of fact,
sling your tongue back.
Cause I never hesitate to give a dragonfly smack.
So hop through the sands a bit. You see that it's a must be hop long.
What's my name, fool? Sang. It's the frog to the log, hipping and hopping, ribbing and
all. And that's Rusty Cundiff on lead there, on his parody of Snoop Doggy Dogg. That's really fun. What are some of the absurdities of rap that you wanted to lampoon in your movie?
Well, there were a lot of things, actually. And it was strange because at a certain level, there are certain things, two certains in one sentence, now five. but there are things within rap that I really feel are important. And then there are other things that you kind of go, well, this is kind of silly. Gangster rap, for example, I mean, I don't doubt. In fact, I know that there are certain rappers who have lived certain lifestyles, and they talk about them, and that part is very real. But there's also the phenomenon of, you know, once something starts making a lot of money, people want to jump on the bandwagon. So you have, you know, gangster rappers that have never been gangsters. You have people saying how many people they've killed that have never even beat anyone up, probably. It becomes... You know, and that's okay if you take it for what it is, which is just entertainment. I like gangster rap as much as I like, you know, going to see The Godfather or watching Scarface and seeing Al Pacino shoot up, you know, 100 people in a film. And to me, gangster rap is the same kind of entertainment release. It's a very, I mean, you know, excuse the expression, macho, male-oriented. Let's go out and take care of all our problems by pulling out a gun, and, you know, and that's the way we're going to deal with it. But that is very common in a lot of our entertainment from books and literature and films. So to have that in music and rap seems like a logical step. The problem is, and one of the things that I didn't deal with as much as I would have liked to in the film. The problem is that people take this medium, this particular music, as being something that is supposed to be absolutely real, absolutely a total reflection of a group of people and who they are and where they come from, and that just isn't the case. I don't expect that Eddie Van Halen, you know, runs around in spandex all day at home. And you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes.
People have stage personas. And I think the problem is these rappers, some of them have taken their stage persona beyond because they think that they're supposed to.
So tell me who you made NWH into, that stands for Niggers with Hats.
Right.
So what was their persona on and off stage?
Well, Niggers with Hats was a combination of a lot of different personalities, I think, that are within the rap community. Ice Cold, who was the leader of NWH, the main character in NWH, he was kind of part Chuck D and part Humpty Hump from Digital Underground, which are two very... opposite characters. I mean, Chuck D is very extremely political, and Humpty Hump is like the leader of silly within the hip-hop community, as far as I can tell. And then there was Tasty Taste, who is a kind of a combination of, at the time, Eazy-E and Flavor Flav. Once again, two very opposite type characters. Flavor Flav, the kind of very flamboyant showman of... with Chuck D, and then Eazy-E, who was, you know, the original gangster from Compton. So those two combined together. And then Tone Deaf, who was a little bit Prince B, who people might know, and a little bit, I guess, maybe Tone Loc. So we kind of played around with a lot of things. And just the different attitudes of the groups.
Then, of course, you have your Vanilla Ice character, who you named Ice Sherbert, who's the white wannabe, who's always, like, down with the rappers.
Yeah, yeah, the Vanilla Sherbert character. He, in fact, that actor, Damon Keveney, I think his name is very, very funny and just did a fantastic job with that. But we wanted to lampoon all of the different aspects of the music and the fact that these guys generally all had, they had a lot of white managers and influence from white record executives on a form of musical expression that, as I was saying earlier, is perceived to be such a true reflection of the young urban black community. In fact, when we were shopping the our soundtrack for NWH, we approached a label in New York, Tommy Boy, that met with the president out here, and he liked the music, he liked the film, and he said, but, you know, I got to get this back to my my girl in New York, who is, you know, she's my ear on the street, she knows what's happening in the black community, what all the young black kids are into, and I don't know that, because, you know, I'm not that, but you go back there, and I'll let her listen to this, and we'll play it for her, and she'll tell me if this is right for us. And so I'm expecting to go back to New York and meet some probably 20-something-year-old black woman who probably went to college, but, you know, maybe she's just very smart. Anyhow, the thing is, we get back there, and it was like a 30-plus white lady, and she was the one who was deciding what was urban and black and cutting edge. And I said, wow, this is very interesting. You know, I mean, I don't know where she studied to get those credentials to be able to do that. And she was obviously picking the areas of black life that were interesting and intriguing to her. It was a very voyeuristic mm-hmm. thing. It was, I'm very interested in this area. These gangster guys, they're really interesting. And wow, that is really kind of odd and different. But the more normal parts of black life kind of get pushed to the side.
My guest is Rusty Cundiff, and his latest film is called Tales from the Hood, and it's an urban horror film. And why don't we take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Rusty Cundiff is my guest. He co-wrote, directed, and co-stars in the new film Tales from the Hood, an urban horror film. Now, I know you had a small part in Robert Townsend's satire Hollywood Shuffle, which was largely about how there was no place in Hollywood for African-American actors and all the kind of stereotypes that they were offered. Did you go through experiences like that yourself when you were getting started before you started writing your own films?
Yeah, I think almost all black performers out here have stories like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you would go in and I used to do a joke in my act where I would say, you know, that I would go in and I'd read something, because you go in, you audition, you read part of the scene, and they'd say, well, can you do it a little bit, you know, more? Give us a little more, you know, a little bit more ethnic. And I'd go, what, you want me to do it like this? You know, and that was always a little thing I did. But yeah, you would get that. You'd get, you know, can you be a little bit more black, you know, just a little bit more, you know.
Let me ask you, I live near a twin movie theater. And often what happens is, in one of the screens, a movie with a white cast is playing, and in the next screen, a movie with a black cast is playing. And so there's lots of white and black people online, and you can just virtually tell before anyone buys their ticket what they're going to buy it to. The white people can go to the white film, and right, the black people can go to the black film. I mean, the person who sells the tickets almost doesn't even need to ask. And, you know, and I find that really depressing. And I wonder if you think that's kind of true in the film world in general, if you see a lot of that.
I think in terms what whites go to see versus what blacks go to see, I think blacks will see a larger variety only because we've been conditioned to see more, because there haven't always been as many black films as there are now. And subject matter for black films is still relatively narrow. So, you know, I'll go see Braveheart, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm planning on seeing. But I'll go see Braveheart. And when I go to see it, I will probably project myself into the image of the hero, Mel Gibson. You know, I'll identify with that character. So now when white audiences go to see black films, it's this is just my own personal theory. I believe they go, as I was saying before, out of a slightly voyeuristic, in a voyeuristic mentality. But, you know, they're not used to going to a movie and saying, there's the protagonist, and that's who I see myself as, that protagonist. And, oh, that protagonist is black. But that doesn't bother me. They wouldn't go to see a movie, you know, like that as easily because they're not used to projecting themselves onto a black face. And black people are totally used to projecting themselves onto white faces when they go to movies. You know, my girlfriend will go, she'll be Meryl Streep for the hour and a half, and I'll be, you know, I'll be whoever. But, you know, I don't know how many white people go to a film and become Danny Glover for that hour, or become, you know, even Denzel or you know, Eddie. It's more of, look at that. Isn't that interesting?
Rusty Cundiff, he co-wrote, directed, and co-stars in the new film Tales from the Hood. His spoof of gangster rap, Fear of a Black Hat, is on video. This is Fresh Air.